because I was the tape daddy and I could see every choice that I was making affecting me on a really profound level. And not only did I feel incredibly energetic for the first time in my life, I felt very clear-headed. I felt passionate about something. I felt engaged. I felt connected. I was able to start exercising regularly. So I started practicing Ashtanga yoga every single day, which, I mean, it's a whole other kettle of fish, but changed my life dramatically. And it was just sort of this domino effect of positive choices that led to the most profound physical, emotional, spiritual life change.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here Friday evening. We're doing a special pre-record because our guest is calling in all the way from Denmark. And so to get our to get our timelines to agree with each other, we decided to pre-record instead because we were both going, how's this going to work? But I am so excited. We're going to talk about all things plant diet related. I know that's always to me, it's always been a scary thing. I was raised, I don't know what you call it, an omnivore, anything, any types of things. But I've heard so many great things about plant-based diets, not just around autoimmune, but health benefits all around. And I met her when she was doing a book tour here in Portland, Oregon, a couple of months back. And for her brand new cookbook, it's actually her second cookbook, which we'll talk about as well. And let me introduce her. Her name is Sarah Britton, and she is a holistic nutritionist and plant-based chef. And she is the creative force behind My New Roots. And that's an award-winning food blog that features original recipes that taste great, look beautiful, boast incredible health benefits, and I have to say, I can follow the directions. Even my granddaughter and I made her special seed crackers, and then my granddaughter is 4 years old, and she started making them when she was 3. So I just love it. Plus, the photography is to die for. I'm not sure we'll have a chance to get in to find out how she does those great photos, but it's mouthwatering. So let me say a little bit more about Sarah, and then we'll bring her on. She's a certified nutritional practitioner and, as I said, the founder of New Roots Holistic Nutrition. And the goal of New Roots is to educate others to be an active participant in their own health and healing, which I say, bravo. So welcome, Sarah. Thanks for calling all the way in from Copenhagen. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you, Sharon. Of course. It's my pleasure. Great to be here.
You know, I never shared with you that my heritage, my family is from Denmark. I've been to Copenhagen a few times, and I have to say, I could eat my way through Denmark.
Yeah, I know. It's a very tasty city.
Every place I ate was absolutely amazing. And I have to say, in all honesty, my second favorite spot is eating my way through France, but Denmark always just seems to hold such fond memories of mine. And the food
that's good to hear. Yeah.
So many people think about Denmark being so north, kind of like Oregon, except you're a little higher, but kind of like Oregon, like how can you have such great food so far north? But gosh, every time I've been to Denmark, the food has been fresh and fantastic. So share with us a little bit, Sarah, about what brought you into just being the advocate for health and healing with food as medicine.
Well, I kind of stumbled into it, actually. I grew up eating a very standard diet, very omnivore, a lot of hot dogs, a lot of donuts, a lot of pizza, you know, pretty standard American stuff. And I, you know, grew up thinking that was totally normal and it didn't really bother me at all. And then I became vegetarian when I was 16, mostly because all my girlfriends were doing it and it was kind of cool. And I was also a real like avid environmentalist in high school. And I found out the impact that eating meat has on the environment. And I thought, well, if I care about the environment and I'm trying to like encourage people to take care of it and make better choices, then I guess I myself have to, you know, step up to the plate and give up eating meat. So I was very passionate about that, but I really didn't know anything about nutrition at the time. And really subsisted on bread, and bagels were just like, that was my main food group. Big white bagels. And I'd have like, they're like the size of my head, and I'd have probably at least one or two of those a day on top of all of my other food. And I don't know, I was just very concerned about being full, not about what the food was actually giving me. And I felt really lousy for, you know, 6 or 7 years without really knowing that. I think, you know, in your teens, your hormones are raging. And I had really terrible PMS actually when I was a teenager, crazy mood swings, and just, you know, all the classic other PMS symptoms. I had really terrible acne. I was overweight, you know, even though I was a vegetarian. And I think there's this misconception that being a vegetarian automatically means that you're healthy. And meanwhile, it really doesn't. I mean,
it's just that you don't eat meat. Yeah, I've heard that before, and in fact, I know some people, some of the vegetarians I know in my world really don't look that healthy.
No, they don't. I mean, some of them are not. In fact, I read somewhere recently that North American vegetarians are some of the most malnourished people in the world. Because just because you're vegetarian doesn't mean you only eat vegetables. Bagels, cake, chips, chocolate bars, like all of these things are vegetarian. So it's, it's not automatic. You have to really work it. So like I was saying, I felt really lousy all the time without realizing it. And after I graduated university, I actually went to go work on an organic farm for 5 weeks, mostly because I thought organics was, I thought it was kind of a joke. And I went down with a bit of a chip on my shoulder thinking I'd really like disprove, you know, why this is becoming a movement. And keep in mind, this was how many years ago now? Almost 20 years ago. Anyway, so I went down to this farm and I really, you know, without really thinking about it, I didn't have access to candy and chips and all this garbage that I was eating. So I was really just eating what we were growing on the farm. And my life changed so dramatically in the course of a week that I knew that I couldn't leave. So I ended up staying for the whole year, actually. Wow. So the 5 week workshop ended and I was just obsessed. I mean, I've never been so excited about learning in my whole life because I was the case study and I could see every choice that I was making affecting me on a really profound level. And not only did I feel incredibly energetic for the first time in my life, I felt very clear-headed. I felt passionate about something. I felt engaged. I felt connected. I was able to start exercising regularly. So I started practicing Ashtanga yoga every single day, which, I mean, it's a whole other kettle of fish, but changed my life dramatically. And it was just sort of this domino effect of positive choices that led to the most profound physical, emotional, spiritual life change. And when I got back from that experience, I had become so connected with the earth and got really into cooking while I was there because the owner of the farm and I became very good friends, and he was just obsessed with making everything from scratch. Like, I didn't know you could make tofu from scratch. I thought you needed some like giant robot to do that, but no, humans can make tofu. And, you know, we bake bread and pizza dough and cook beans from scratch. Like, I thought chickpeas came from a can before this. So it was a real awakening for me. And I just fell in love with food in such a positive way. And so when I got back from this year-long, very immersive experience on the farm, my parents expected me to go back to the office and keep working at the graphic design thing. And, you know, although that was, I've always been very passionate about visual arts. My background's painting, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that explains the beautiful blog that you have. I know. I love reading the blog, and I love trying out your recipes, but I have to say it's eye candy as well. So.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharon. That's very sweet of you to say. Well, it is definitely a passion of mine. My background is, yeah, painting and photography. And so I think that has definitely helped boost the, at least the visual impact of the blog for sure. So yeah, I had this design degree and yeah, I'd taken sort of like a year off to figure out where my life was going. And my parents were pretty patient. But when I came home and I said, I want to do a 180 and start a different career, they were like, what are you talking about? So I found this private school for holistic nutrition in Toronto. And for those people who don't know, holistic nutrition is food as medicine. And so I just decided to pursue that field. And I just, yeah, again, I fell in love with it. So the farm was a very interesting experience because I had this total awakening. It completely changed my life. I realized the impact that food could have on someone, but I didn't really understand why that was happening. So the holistic nutrition education really, you know, from top of my head to the tips of my toes showed me like what is going on inside my body and what foods affect different things and why. And how we can use food as prevention and also to help heal from disease. And I was so inspired by this education and almost like mad that I'd grown up not knowing this stuff. Like, I mean, isn't it crazy that we go through our whole lives? We have no idea how our liver works or where our spleen is or...
I know. It wasn't until my autoimmune diagnosis did I really start to think about all of these, not only, like you said, where your spleen is, where what your liver does, where it is, other than a general idea, it's kind of in the torso somewhere. I wonder about it too.
Yeah, I mean, you think about what we spend our days learning about from a young age and you know, how well we understand how our computers work or our phones or our cars or whatever. I mean, it's quite baffling to me that we walk around with these actually divine systems inside of us that we know nothing about, that are a part of us that we know nothing about. I mean, it's actually a little insane to me. So I'm very passionate about education. And like, maybe my next mission is to get this kind of stuff into school, into the standard curriculum, because I really think if we're teaching kids from a young age about how our bodies work and what foods help us in our lives, wouldn't that be wonderful? Just think about the change that would create, even if you just look at America, because how many people are suffering from diet-related illnesses? If we taught kids from an early age, okay, this is how to recognize, you know, you're getting a cold or a flu, and here's how to take action. Here are the foods that are good for that. Like, something as simple as that.
Oh, and I think you're onto something, because I was reading not too long ago. I'm from a different generation, different era, where we had home ec. And I was reading recently that so many young people don't have any access to any sort of home ec in school. And I'm not going to say that what we learned in home ec, like brownies and cookies, was really all that great. But still, it kept me knowing not to be afraid of the kitchen. And I talk to some young people now who don't even know how to boil water, let alone make anything. And I'm thinking, how sad is that, that they're actually afraid of the kitchen or are not sure how, where the food comes. If it doesn't come cooked, do I do with it?
Yeah, and I think the problem is that my generation, I really see, I was born in 1982. I really see my peers, there's a lot of us that really are completely mystified by cooking at all, whether it's, you know, boiling an egg or a pot of rice. Like, it's very intimidating to people. And the issue with this is that, you know, what are they going to pass on to their children? I think it's actually, I mean, it's another thing that I'm really passionate about. I mean, I'm sure you can see that, is encouraging people to get back into their kitchens and reconnect with their food. Because when we think about the long-term consequences of not cooking and not being connected to what we're eating and letting industry cook for us. This is a major shift in our society, in our culture. And never before have we been faced with this problem in the history of mankind. And what there are huge consequences for this. And again, that's why I'm really passionate about, trying to get people inspired and like pumped to cook again, because it is fun. It's, you know, the Women's Lib movement did a major, did so many great things, but it really did a number on cooking in terms of framing it as drudgery or a chore, or like, you're too smart to be in the kitchen. Like, you deserve to be in the office and making money alongside your husband, you know, which that's all well and good, but like, someone still needs to actually put a knife on a cutting board and like chop some stuff. Like, someone needs to be cooking, and it cannot be McDonald's.
Right. Yeah. Well, I totally agree. And one thing I love to do, and I think it's very bonding, is cook with my granddaughter. And we've made numerous things in your cookbook. And like I said in the opening, her favorite is your seeds crackers. She loves those crackers.
Yes.
And we
That's awesome. My son also loves those.
We actually even grow the rosemary out in our yard and pull it in. So,
oh, that's magical. How wonderful. That's great.
One thing with the rosemary is if people aren't familiar with the herb, it's very vigorous. And so I love being able to find recipes that use it because it'll take over your yard.
Oh, yes, it will. It's beautiful, too. It smells the best.
Oh my goodness. We need to take a quick commercial break, everybody, but we'll be right back with Sarah, and we're going to get into finding out about what are the first steps if we want to try plant-based diets, because like I said, and I find out from Sarah that she grew up like I did, sort of omnivore and eating anything. And I also grew up of that era of TV dinner. I'm a little bit older than Sarah, so I grew up of that era where TV dinners were told that these are the newest, best, healthiest thing for you. So we'll get into a little bit more of how do we get past that. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're talking with Sarah Britton. She's a holistic nutritionist and plant-based chef. She's based in Denmark. But she's actually internationally known, and her two cookbooks are fabulous, and they've been distributed worldwide. I first met her here in Portland, Oregon, when she was doing a book signing for her latest cookbook, which I just love. And I have to say, Sarah, this the latest cookbook I love because, I mean this with all, it was so simple. And I don't mean that derogatory Yay. At all, that it was just...
No, was that's like, okay.
I knew I could do it just by reading the recipe. Sometimes when I look at other that's people's cookbooks, great. I go, well, this looks really good, it sounds really good, but I'm intimidated. But your last cookbook is just, I love it. It was not intimidating at all.
That's wonderful to hear, Sharon, because that's exactly what I intended. I actually, when I set out to make a second book, after the feedback I got from the first one, which was very positive, but some people, you know, people on a budget or on a time crunch, I mean, we tend to forget there's still really great ingredients at a grocery store, and it doesn't take, you know, rocket science to make those things taste delicious. So the book is really based on, you know, the least expensive grocery store in your town, no frills kind of thing, every single ingredient you can find in that grocery store. And the cooking processes I use are really simple, no fancy equipment. I don't use, you know, high speed blenders or, you know, sous vide machines or any of that stuff. It's really, really simple. And I had a lot of fun writing this book because I sort of rediscovered simplicity. And for a busy mom that I am now, that it's really important to be able to cook really nice things in, you know, less than an hour, because not everyone has an hour to spend on dinner. So,
absolutely, yeah. My goodness, and that's what I loved about it. And like you said, I had most everything in my kitchen, so that was great.
That's amazing. That's great.
If somebody is going, well, you know, I've heard this whole idea about vegetarian, vegan, the whole thing, but I don't even know where to start. What do you suggest? How do you kind of help people dip their toe into not being absolutely petrified of it? I think a lot of people worry about, you know, am I going to get enough protein? And, you know, how, as you said, bagels and white bread. How am I going to get enough of everything I need?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, protein's a big concern. Calcium's a big concern. I can't believe I'm still asked the protein question. Protein is really in all foods. Almost all foods contain protein, and plant-based foods actually have plenty and more than enough. So, you know, it does take a little bit of thought, I guess, if you're going to go all the way, I was going to say the whole hog, bad choice of words. If you're going to go all the way and cut out meat entirely, then yeah, I think people need to do a little bit of reading just to understand, you know, what plant-based foods, you know, contain the most protein. But it's, you know, we're in America, actually, we're really looking at people getting an excess of protein, and there are a lot of health issues associated with that. So, moderate amounts for the majority of people are really what we need. And, you know, I think as much as the paleo movement has brought a lot of awareness to certain things that I think have been important to highlight in the American diet, what it's done is it's really created a protein craze that is just out of control, in my opinion. And when we talk about one macronutrient being bad for us, like carbohydrates have been vilified, which is ridiculous, and we've put protein up on this pedestal like it's the only thing we need to survive, it's crazy to me. So my response to people who want to become vegetarian and are concerned about protein, I just have to say right off the bat, like, don't worry about it. If you're eating a balanced diet, you're going to get enough. There's definitely other concerns with it, like vitamin D, B12, iron, especially if you're going to go vegan. These are things you need to take into consideration and think about supplementation in certain instances. But if you want to start with a plant-based diet, if you're transitioning, I think the most important place to start is really focusing on filling yourself up and being satisfied, because meat has a lot more calories, a lot more protein and fat than plants do, or grains and legumes. So when people transition, I think one of their biggest fears is that they're going to be hungry. And so I really like, if when my husband's friends come over, for instance, his guy friends that, like going to the gym or play a lot of sports, and they're always worried coming to my house, they're going to starve to death. I actually really love to prove them wrong. I had one guy actually a few weeks ago, my husband's friend came over, And I made him a chili. I made him a vegetarian chili. He actually had to lay on the couch after dinner. He was so stuffed. Like, I think he was really scared, so he kind of overate. He actually needed to get horizontal. That's how full he was. He was like, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. I'm like, well, there you go. And anyone who's ever seen me knows I'm not wasting away. Like, I'm a healthy girl. So there's no need to worry about that. I think things like hearty dishes that are based on whole grains and legumes are a really great place to start when you're taking meat out of the diet, because you want to focus on things that are really rich and hearty and filling. And I don't mean rich in like a fat way, just rich tasting. There's another part of ourselves that signifies satiation, and it has a lot to do with taste. And when things are seasoned properly, which is another reason I work so hard on my recipes to make sure that they're really balanced, so people come away feeling like they've had, you know, a rich tasting meal that's not necessarily high in fat or calories. It's just, it sort of just ticks all the boxes, if I can say that. So my food's really a good balance of saltiness, savoriness, sweetness, acidity. So you have this feeling of like, wow, I just ate. We don't consider our taste buds being satisfied, but it's actually a really important part of feeling full, is having that balance in food.
Yeah. You know, when we had the meal together, it was so delicious, but you're right. I came away from like, I am not going to be hungry the rest of the day.
That's great.
Even as I was sitting there sopping it up, you know, eating it up, that you said, that just going to town on it. I was going to say whole hog there too, going to town on it. I kept going, oh, I'm getting so full, but it just tastes so good. I'm getting so full, but it tastes so good.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. Now, one of the things that you had mentioned, I want to circle back to a little thing that you mentioned about your first week at the farm and how much better you felt. Have you found that in all of the different types of workshops you run on detoxification, cleansing, and teaching the cooking classes, that people often feel good? What I'll say, in a week, I mean, to me, a week is fairly quick. So like within a month or so, they start to notice the change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think one of the most satisfying parts about working with people is that you notice the change so quickly. I mean, if you just take a common dinner that a lot of people eat, you know, like hamburger or pizza or mashed potatoes and gravy and, you know, like fried chicken or something like that. If you feel tired after eating, that's a really good indicator that your food was, you know, not giving you something. Like food, we need to remember that food should be energizing to us. It should lift us up. It should make us feel like, wow, I can really run on this for the next few hours, instead of being like, oh, I need to go rest. Because that's really, it's a sign that you really taxed your digestive system. You've either given it too much or too many different combinations of food, or it's too rich in fats. And I mean,
I never thought of it.
Yeah.
That way.
Well, it really should. I mean, that's what food is for. Bottom line, it's to give us its fuel to have energy to burn. And, you know, I would say if you gave me someone, I could help them see within less than a week how food can affect them. They would feel a change so dramatically. And I think that's what's so wonderful about eating this way, and what's so gratifying, and why when people start to make the transition, there's no regrets. They never look back. They never want to go back to feeling tired after eating. They want to feel good all the time. And it becomes kind of addictive. Like, you know, when, let's say I'm at a birthday party or something and there's cake being offered, you know, sometimes I'll have a little piece of cake, but I actually say to myself, I know that it's going to make me feel bad. Is it worth it? Like, is that fuel in my body going to run cleanly? I know it's not. And, you know, sometimes I just feel like having fun and whatever, I'll have a piece of cake. But I feel it so deeply now when I eat something that's not health supportive, that ultimately I don't want to make those decisions, or I want to make better choices for myself. And I think that's when you get to that place, that's really exciting. Because another thing people fear when they transition away, not just from meat, but from processed foods, is this idea of cravings. And, you know, people say to me, oh my God, well, I'm addicted to carbohydrates, or I'm addicted to sugar. And we are biologically hardwired to crave simple sugars. But the thing is, like, when you're eating a more balanced diet and eating much more sort of in the middle of the spectrum, your cravings disappear as well. So not only do you not want to eat the cake because it's going to make you feel bad, but you don't have that same sort of panicky attachment to it. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but when I was growing up, like,
Oh, I can.
Okay. I mean, I think a lot of people can, you know, when I was growing up or a teenager in high school, like I had licorice in my purse, like they were cigarettes or something, or like I had like Skittles and Tootsie Rolls. Like I had to know where my next fix was coming from, almost in a, like, I felt like a prisoner actually to sugar. And it was really awful. I knew it was bad for me, but like there was no possible way in my mind I could ever break away from it, because I'm sure there were a lot of emotional issues there as well. But the physical addiction I had to it was very gripping, and it's amazing. I feel.
Well, I found for me one thing with the sugar addiction was once I got first, I'll say the first 72 hours, I was okay. It didn't take a huge amount of time for me to stop that, as you say, just carrying it around, wondering where your next fix is, which is, for the longest time, that was me too, just sugar, whether it was a sugary drink or something else, it fueled my day for years. And
yeah,
I found that it didn't take, the first couple of days weren't all that cool, took some grit and some, some resilience, but by the end of 48 hours, and I'll say definitely 72 hours, things had settled down and I was okay. So it wasn't as monumental as I thought. Do most people be able to clear it out of their system in a decent amount of time that they can work through it?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you said 72 hours. It actually takes 3 full days to break a physical addiction to sugar.
Oh.
But it's the emotional. Yeah. So it's really interesting you said that, because it clinically takes 3 days to sort of break out of that really vicious cycle. So you were right on the money, Sharon. But the emotional addiction to sugar, it runs much deeper. And this is where, you know, you get into a lot of tricky areas with people in clinical practice, because I'm not a therapist. I try and get as big a picture of someone as I can when I'm treating them. But, you know, when we associate sugar with reward and celebration, it's a really hard thing to detach from, like, you know.
Oh, it is. My family is about two things. Have a cookie, you'll feel better. And we all get together at every major holiday. And, you know, it's the time that the whole family, not just seeing one person or two people, but the whole family gets together. So it's a great big celebration. And it's always around food. And I have to be honest, thinking about the major holidays, a lot of that are dessert type foods.
It is. And we just gorge ourselves. And for some reason, we're like, we have some excuse to do it. And I think it's been really hard with my family, because I come from a very, you know, traditional background of candy bowl on the living room table. And there's a cookie jar in the kitchen. And then there's like a huge cake and ice cream at dessert. Like it's very ingrained in my family for sure. And I've been met with a lot of resistance in trying to change those habits and patterns, because my family's health back home in Canada is really not very good. And they are very emotionally attached to those habits, and trying to change them is like harder than trying to change religion. It's crazy.
Yes. No, I totally, we must have had a similar family. Maybe, you know, twins in a different life here, because I'm like, oh yeah, you're talking about my family for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's really common about the emotional ties we have around food. I'm thinking even now, when I try to eat more plant-based diet, and you go somewhere, maybe you go out to dinner with friends or something, and you just want a salad because that's maybe the only thing that's entirely plant-based on the menu. And they're like, oh, are you on a diet? You're not eating enough or whatever. And I'm like, let's just have a nice time. It's not about, you know, it's not about whether I'm having a salad or not. It's kind of difficult sometimes to get other people to detach from the emotional meaning of the food you're eating, which never makes sense.
Oh, I know. I know. It's crazy. I mean, again, I was a real black sheep in my family. First of all, becoming vegetarian and then becoming holistic nutritionist and really looking at food as medicine. And, you know, I think what's interesting when you, even if you are, I mean, I'm pretty non-judgmental. I mean, at least not verbally judgmental when it comes to what my family's eating. I try and set a good example and offer alternatives. But, you know, ultimately it's their body and their choices. But it's amazing how confronted they are just by my existence, just by the choices that I'm making. It's like almost as if I'm judging them by having a salad. I'm not. I mean, there's plenty of salad to go around. They can have salad too. It doesn't mean I'm like judging them for being a bad person for having steak or a giant white bagel. It's fine. It's just, I think people get really defensive about what they eat, again, because of the emotional ties we have to it. It runs deep.
Yeah. Right. And I think people with autoimmune find that too. They, a lot of them have food sensitivities. So beyond even just going from we'll say a typical diet to a plant-based diet, a lot of times then they even have to be careful. Maybe there's something in some of those foods that causes sensitivity. And I have found, you know, a lot of pressure, I'll say cultural pressure, with my food sensitivities of, as if I'm being picky, as if something is,
right,
you know, that this is a choice. I'm like, no, I'm just got to give the body time to heal. And people don't understand that. I do know that once you start a plant-based diet, it's amazing to me how rapidly the body begins to shift. I've had other experts on talking about how fast the different parts of your body, the different, like your digestive tract or your digestive system, the different systems of your body can actually begin to rebuild, can begin to start to heal itself fairly quickly. And that's always a shock to me at how fast our body wants to get back to work, to finding the right place that it's supposed to be.
Yes. Well, I mean, one thing I learned in school, which, you know, stays with me, is that our bodies are constantly trying to bring us back to equilibrium. And what are we doing? We're constantly giving it things to throw it off. If we give our bodies the tools it needs, it will always fix itself. It is a miraculous system. This is what I'm talking about. Like, how are we not just like walking around in total awe and devotion to these incredible bodies that we all own, we have for our entire lives, that we're never taught to look after? It's bananas to me. So I think we have this infinite wisdom inside us.
We have to take a quick commercial break, Sarah. We're up against the clock. But when we come back, we're going to talk more to Sarah about this idea of why we don't appreciate our body. And I've got my own feeling on that. So we'll talk with her in just a minute, because this is one of my passions is understanding and appreciating our body and what we've been given. So we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And we're here today with Sarah Britton. She's a holistic nutritionist and plant-based chef and the force behind My New Roots. It's an award-winning food blog that features original recipes. And I'll tell you, they taste great. They look beautiful and they're absolutely super healthy. You have to go over and see her blog as well as get her cookbooks. Sarah is also a certified nutritional practitioner and the founder of New Roots Holistic Nutrition. And we've been just, I think, all over the board here talking about nutrition and vegetarianism and all of that. But I think it's critically important that we talk about this idea of how fast our bodies will right themselves, will correct themselves, regardless of what you've been told about as far as your diagnosis. You know, maybe you can't get perfect again, but I'll tell you, by supporting your body, you can absolutely get on the right track again. So I'm not a doctor, but I always say since I changed my diet, I definitely know that's led a huge amount to my becoming not just a survivor of autoimmune, but a thriver. And yes, I won't say that I'm cured, but if you look at where I was 3 years ago with my first diagnosis to now, I'm like, I know food played a huge part in it. And that's why I wanted to have Sarah on. And we were talking about the miracle of our body and how fast it will work to right itself when we got up against the clock there. So Sarah, let's dive back in here with this idea of just letting the body do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, we have this, the body's main job is always, you know, keeping us in balance. We can look at things like just the pH of our blood, for instance. So if one take that as an example, you know, when we eat sugar, which is very acidic, the body needs to buffer that acidity with something. And what is alkalizing? Well, minerals are alkalizing. So when we eat sugar, we actually pull minerals like calcium out of our bones in order to buffer the extreme acidity in our blood from the sugar. So this is another reason So this is why we could look at osteoporosis, for instance, as a disease of excess as opposed to a deficit, which is actually how it's mainly looked at. Like, oh, you're deficient in calcium, so that's why you get osteoporosis. But actually, it's not. I mean, it's an excess of protein. It's an excess of refined carbohydrates that are acidifying the body. And in order for it to bring it back to equilibrium, that's what it does. And it's because, you know, as much as we need calcium on a minute-to-minute basis, what's more important is keeping the blood alkaline. So the body is constantly taking minerals from the body to keep it that way. And that's why eating a plant-based diet, another reason why it's so important, is because it's more alkalizing than animal products. Now, a little bit is okay, but...
Well, I'm curious about when we talk about a plant-based diet, when I go to what I'll say even is the organics or the more natural grocery stores here in town, one of the things I find that it's sort of the same foods over and over again. I've been recently reading this idea that you should eat sort of like with the seasons, yet when I go to my grocery store, it's the same vegetables pretty much over and over.
Yep.
Vegetables and fruit over and over. And it's every so often you'll see the odd squash or the whatever. But how do we mix it up when we want to go on a plant-based diet, not just be eating the same veggies over and over again?
Of course. Well, I think finding a source of inspiration is really, really important. And I really like to work with tons of different fruits and vegetables. So there's lots of inspiration on my blog, which is mynewroots.org. But I think, you know, visiting farmers markets is really important as well. If you're not familiar with seasons and what foods come at what time of year, then if you have a farmers market where you live or around, that's a really fantastic way of not only getting in touch with the seasons, but being exposed to a much wider variety of produce, things that would never be in a conventional grocery store or even an organic market, simply because people who produce food for grocery stores need to have consistency all year round. So your local Wegmans is not going to, is it Wegmans a grocery store in America?
Yeah, on the East Coast, yeah.
Okay, sure. Okay, well, let's say a West Coast supermarket, they can't make a deal with a local farmer because they would have to make deals with local farmers, you know, tons of different ones because they need to make the food chain system as short as possible and as simple as possible. So they can't have someone from the second week in June to the fourth week in June giving them strawberries. And then from the 1st of July, to, you know, it just is too complicated. So that's why we see the same thing over and over again in grocery stores, because there needs to be sort of one supply chain. It's much easier that way. So that's one thing I recommend people doing is going to a farmer's market. They can talk to the farmer and ask questions. Like, farmers love to connect with the people who are eating their food. And it's a really nice way of, you know, again, building community. If you establish a relationship with a farmer, you can even ask them to grow something for you the next year, which they love doing because they're there producing food for people. And
oh, absolutely. Portland, we have just a plethora of farmers
I'm
markets,
sure you
as
do.
You know. And I want to say, I say about the farmers is ask them how to cook it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've got something there and I've kind of like heard of it, but I didn't even know that's what it looked
yeah,
like.
Yeah, right. And ask the farmers how to cook it, because I have never met a farmer that wasn't really good at cooking, because if you care about growing food, it's because you really like food a lot and you care how it tastes, and they're probably the best people to ask, for sure. So I think getting to a market, or at least even getting a chart where you can see what foods are in season at specific times of year, it's really eye-opening. And food not only tastes better, but it's better for you because it's traveled less distance and it's more nutrient dense. Because even if you're looking at conventional produce, if you get a locally, if you let's say you take an apple grown in Oregon that's conventionally grown that was picked last week, versus an apple from Chile that was picked 11 months ago, the local apple is going to be far more healthy and far more nutrient rich than the one from Chile from almost a year ago. Did you know the average American apple is 11 months old?
I knew that because, as you know, Oregon is a major apple producer. And a quick little story, some friends in Florida, I was down there and they love apples and they were sharing me the apple that they had bought. And I said, this isn't an apple. They said... So when they came to Oregon, I took them up to Hood River, Oregon, and we picked apples off the tree. And I said, this is
an apple.
And now they tell me, yeah, now they tell me I've ruined them.
Of course. I mean, the second you eat food from the mother plant, I mean, there's nothing like that. I mean, the first line of my first cookbook was My New Roots Began with a Tomato. And it was this tomato that I put in my mouth that exploded into a veritable universe of flavor. And I felt like I could taste the world inside this little fruit. And I'd never really eaten a tomato before. I didn't know that, but looking back, I had never really truly eaten a tomato. And plucking it off the vine, it was warm from the afternoon sun. I mean, it really changed my life, fully tasting that fruit.
I know. When I was young, I thought I'd eaten tomatoes because I'd had spaghetti sauce and pizza sauce. So I'd had tomatoes.
Same thing. Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh, we're up against the clock. I need to take another quick commercial break to get this in so we have plenty of time here to chat and finish up. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, and we're here with holistic nutritionist and plant-based chef Sarah Britton. We're just having a great time and got kind of messed up there with our commercial break. Sorry to take that so quickly, but let's jump back in about this idea of real food and what it tastes like and what it could do for us. We're sharing stories of our past childhood.
and revelations, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, I was just saying that I think if you can get to a farmer's market and taste real food for the first time, definitely do that. And another thing to do, if you don't have access to one, just simply ask your grocer, the person in the produce aisle, what is local, what is seasonal. Just ask for help. They're generally pretty, you know, pretty knowledgeable, surprisingly.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to make a quick note about farmers markets is make sure that they're really farmers markets. I was visiting a place that will remain nameless now, not too long ago, and friends took me to their famous farmers market. And I noticed that it was just produce trucks from the local food wholesalers that had just pulled up and put their produce out in the scorching sun and called it a farmer's market. And I'm like, no, let's talk to the real farmers, see if you can find a real farmer's market. It's so much fun. I enjoy farmer's markets. I talk about them all the time here on the show. It's one of my pleasures, is going to find farmer's markets and meeting the farmers. So if we, in just a few minutes that we have left, I want to be sure to talk about your blog and how people can get a hold of you. But if we just were to give people a couple of ideas on maybe the first foods to try first that will just absolutely go, yep, I'm sold. What would you suggest? You have an amazing, in your latest book, you have this wonderful chia seed pudding. So talk about a couple of things that you suggest, like, you got to try this.
Well, I think two of my most popular recipes, one is called the life-changing loaf of bread, which is actually on my blog, mynewroots.org. And this bread is, it's a flour-free bread. It's based on whole rolled oats and different nuts and seeds and psyllium seed husk, which is the binder for the bread. And it's a really amazing ingredient. It's one of the most absorbent fibers in nature. This bread will really give you great digestion if you have any issues with that. It's an incredible product for that. And it's really delicious. And it's yeast-free. You don't need a sourdough starter. It's really just based on soaking everything overnight. So you just mix the bread right in the pan. So there's no bowl to get dirty or anything. The next morning, you just throw it in the oven. That's it. It's really simple and it's delicious. It actually has changed thousands of lives. I can attest to that because there's about 2,000 comments on that one post on my blog alone. And it's wherever I go in the world, people say, oh, your bread changed my life. So it's...
I can't believe I missed that one. I'm going to have to go look it up.
You have to go try that one.
So you know, just saying the word bread can be a little intimidating, but you've made it sound like it's not like what I think about when I baked bread in the old days with my grandma.
No, and I'm also very intimidated by bread baking. I must add that, because especially if you're working with sourdough, it's a lot of waiting around and you're not really sure if it's working, and it's a lot of like proofing and kneading and waiting, and I get confused like just talking about it. So the cool thing with this bread is you literally put all the ingredients into the loaf pan, add a little water, and you let it sit, or not. You can actually bake it right away if you want, but if you want even more health benefits, you can let it sit overnight, which sort of initiates the growing process of all these nuts and seeds, which releases more of their nutrients. So it's an incredibly nutrient dense loaf, I should call it, maybe not bread. And it makes the best toast ever.
Ooh, okay. You've got me sold. That's what I'm doing this weekend for sure. And
great.
What's another fun?
Yeah,
I'll send you a note. So what's another one?
Another one is, it's called the best lentil salad ever. And this recipe was a bit of an evolution. I went to a friend's house for dinner years after I became vegetarian, but I'd never really had lentils before. I don't know. Again, I didn't really know anything about nutrition at the time. And this lentil salad was just so full of flavor and just, it blew my mind. And so I worked with the recipe a little bit and tweaked it. The original recipe actually called for a ham hock. You cook the lentils with a ham hock, but my version is completely vegan. It's just an amazing base, and it lasts for about 5 days in the fridge. When we talk about flavor and being satisfied and going back to this whole idea that, you know, eating plant-based food, I think it's really important to focus on things that are really deeply satisfying from a flavor perspective. This salad ticks all the boxes. It's also really filling and very high in protein and fiber. Several cases of people going to potluck dinners and bringing this salad. There's been several best lentil salad ever at the same potluck. Yeah. So
oh,
the
fantastic.
Best lentil salad ever and the life-changing loaf of bread. And both of those recipes are on my blog. You don't even need to buy my cookbook to get it.
But I suggest you just to have it constantly with you. I love both your cookbooks. So tell everybody your URL again and how to find out more about you and your blog and all of that.
Thanks, Sharon. So my blog is mynewroots.org, O-R-G. And I'm also on Instagram. My handle is @mynewroots. And I'm very active there. It's really where I have most of my sort of interaction with my readers. I have two cookbooks out. The first one is called My New Roots, just like the blog. And the second one, which came out in February, is called Naturally Nourished. And the second cookbook is really all about how to make really healthy, delicious food with grocery store staples.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. It's just been so much fun. I enjoy your blog, and thank you for sharing all your wisdom about food, because I think we can get too emotionally attached to it and lose sight of what it's for. So thank you so much, and everyone, go have a great week, whatever your adventures. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.